Amen. You guys can be seated. Well, we've been going through this series, and we're going to end it tonight, and it's called Do Hard Things. Doesn't sound fun, and sometimes it's not, but I think it is what Jesus calls us to do hard things. And we started out, do hard things at home, and I was going to do this certain way that I was going to go about it, and then I sort of changed directions, and we did do hard things, read your Bible, so we sort of had the foundation, which was do hard things through the Word, getting in the Word, and then as you get in the Word, you begin to do hard things for the glory of God. So we've got sort of the foundation, do hard things in the Word, from the Word, you're saturated in the Word of God, so you see the glory of God, and you want to live in light of the glory of God. And then tonight, we're going to look at this. We not only do it from the Word for the glory of God, but we do it for the sake of the nations. So we've got that sort of building through the Word, for the glory of God, for the sake of the nations. If you have your Bibles, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 12, the very first book in your Bible. So if you're new, it's going to be easy tonight. Go to the first book. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's one underneath your chair, I hope. It's page number 8. So when you get there, Genesis chapter 12, once you get there, if you'd stand out of reverence for the Word of God. Kirsten's like, yeah, I'm ready. Let's go. I love it. Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3. Doing hard things for the sake of the nations. Here's what it says. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You guys may be seated. Now imagine this. Some of you guys are getting ready to graduate high school. Some of you already went through that. You're getting ready to go into college. And imagine if God showed up to you and said, you know what, I don't want you to go to Murray State. I don't want you to go to Louisville. Instead, I want you to leave your father and mother. I want you to leave the United States. I want you to leave your comfort zone. I want you to go to the airport, and I'm going to show you the plane ticket to buy, and I'm going to send you to another country. Now go. Think about how many of you guys would do that. I mean, that's kind of crazy, right? It's like, what, God? You want me to leave everything I know to just go to some place you're going to show me? Well, that's what he did to Abram. He stepped into Abram's life. Abram was a pagan, not a worshiper of God, and he stepped in and says, hey, it's time to leave home. It's time to leave your country, that place that you grew up, that place you're familiar with, and it's time to go somewhere else, to a land that I'm going to show you. Think about the faith Abram had to have in this God who just showed up to him, to leave everything and go to a land that he didn't even know about yet. But notice what God tells Abram. He says that, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you into a nation, and I'm going to make your name great. I mean, imagine this. You know, he steps into Zachor's life, and he says, hey, Zach, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make you into a nation. So that you're no longer going to live in the United States of America. You're going to live in the land of Zach. And you're going to have this whole people. They're going to be called Zachians. And that is going to be, you're going to be this nation. And when everyone hears the Zachians, they know Zach Orr. They hear that name. Everywhere, all the world, that name is huge. It's famous. Imagine that. If God stepped in and blessed you in that way. This is what he does to Abram. He absolutely, extravagantly blesses Abram. I'm going to make you into not just a little nation, but a great nation. And I'm going to make your name great. So here we see God's blessing. Man, God blesses Abraham like crazy. I mean, think about it. How many of you guys would like that? For God to make you into a nation. Forget about the United States. I'm going to build your own nation. It's going to be an empire. Staleyville. It's going to be great. I mean, think about that. Like, you're the king. Like, you're the top dog. You've got a whole nation of people that come from you. I mean, God is blessing Abram richly. But I want you to notice something. He doesn't just bless Abram for the sake of Abram. He doesn't just bless Abram and say, man, I'm going to make you something big so that you live a good life and you're happy and everything goes well with you. No, notice what it says. He says, I am going to bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. So here you've got God's blessing, but we also see God's purpose. God says, I am going to bless you for a greater purpose so that you will bless the nations. He says, through you, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. And if you look at Galatians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, Paul tells us that God was preaching the gospel when he spoke to Abram. Because you know how God's going to bless all the nations through Abram? He's going to bring about a Messiah through Abram named Jesus Christ. And through him, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. You are blessed because of Abram, because through Abram came the Messiah, and the Messiah died for your sins, and you are now blessed. So, notice, God is going to bless Abram extravagantly, not for Abram's sake, but for the sake of the nation. So, Abram can be a blessing to the nations. Now, I want us to think about this for a moment. I've been reading this book over my vacation. I know a lot of you think, vacation, why did you read a book? I just love reading now. It's kind of weird. Like, never read. This is a true story. I never read a full book before I became a Christian. I became a Christian at 20 years old. So actually, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea is the only book I ever read completely. It was an accelerated reading book. I loved it. Other than that, never read a full book. 20 years old. I got saved and one of those quirky things, God turned me into like this book-consuming, like I love books now, I love to read. I go on vacation to read. It's really weird. I'm like, who are you? You don't like to read. Yeah, you do. Here's the book. So anyways, I was reading this book by David Platt. It's called Radical, and I just want to tell you, if you don't want your life to be changed, don't read this book. I'm just going to forewarn you, because the book is entitled Taking Back Your Faith from the American Dream, and let me just tell you, it will cut you deep to the heart. It did me. It's one of those books that's like, wow, am I a Christian? I'm not sure. This is big. So, but man, it's a great book. And one of the things that he really helped me to see is that perhaps to some degree here in America, we have disconnected God's blessing from his purpose. So here we kind of see you've got God's blessing over here and God's purpose over here, and there's a disconnect. They're not connected. And what kind of we think is, man, God has blessed us richly in the United States of America. Why has he blessed us? So that we can be a blessed people. I mean, we've seen God bless the USA. We put the bumper stickers on. God bless the USA. And I think he has. He's richly blessed us. But I think we forgot the reason why he blessed us. And to some degrees, man, we are an extremely wealthy nation. We're blessed. And we think, man, that's so we can have comfort, luxury, success, safety, all those things God has blessed us with. But we forget, hold on, God's got a purpose. And his purpose is to bless the nations. His purpose is to make his glory known throughout all the world. So what I want us to do tonight is to help do this. Help to connect back God's blessing to his purpose. Because he shows up to Abram and he says, look, I'm going to bless you hugely, but the reason I'm blessing you is so that you'll become great and that you will make all of the nations blessed. So the reason why he blesses you as a believer, the reason why he's given you so much stuff is not just for you, but it's for the sake of the nations. That you could become passionate about his glory throughout all the nations. So when we think about God's blessing, what are some of the things that he's blessed you with? Well, if you're a believer, number one, he's blessed you with grace. Man, think about that. God has blessed you with grace. He showed you your sin. He woke you up from that, and he showed you Jesus and how great he was, and that he died a substitutionary death on the cross for you. You were able to put your faith and trust in him, and you were born again to a new life. He has given you grace. So the question is, why did he bless you with grace? Well, so that I can be free from sin and happy and go to heaven. Well, that's true. But it's more than that. He blessed you with grace so that you could bless others with the gospel. He saved you so you can now go and reach others for the kingdom of Christ. But not only that, he's blessed us with resources. Men in America, we have so many resources that God has blessed us with. And I think the reason he's blessed us with resources is so we can become passionate about his work among the nations. Just think about the resources that he's blessed you with. For some of you guys, you're very talented. Some of you aren't, but some of you are. I mean, some of you got some real talents. Like, some of you can take, like, these musical instruments and play them, make them sound good. Not me, but you can. So how can you use your talent, not for yourself, but for the purpose of God? Maybe through your musical ability, maybe you can take on a kid who knows nothing about music, but's got a hunger, desire to learn music, and you would tutor them in music for absolutely no charge. You'd spend time teaching them how to play this instrument. Why? So you build a relationship with them, and so you would share the gospel with them. See, that's taking, he's blessed me with this giftedness so that I can be about his purpose and bless others. Some of you are athletes. Some of you, God has gifted you to do things with a ball that I can't even think about. But the reason he's done that is because there's some of us who aren't as good, and you, with all this talent, can teach us for free. Emphasize, for free. So that you build a relationship with that person that you're teaching how to play basketball or football. And the reason you're doing this, you can share with them because, man, Christ has saved me, and I love you now, and I want to share the gospel with you. Man, God has gifted some of you with extremely big brains. You're smart. Help us that are not smart. Tutor us for free, okay, so that you can share the gospel with the not-so-smart people, okay? Because the gospel is for children also, right? But the reason you're helping that person in math is not just, it's because God has blessed you with the ability to understand math so you can bless others, so you can tutor others, and ultimately show them the gospel. What has God blessed you with, and how are you using it for his purpose? See, don't disconnect the two. Don't say, God made me smart just so I can be smart. No, he made you smart so you can help us who are not smart. Please help us. We're not smart, okay? But use your blessing for his purpose. Some of you, he's blessed you with a job. How can you use your money, not just for you, but for the nations? And how can you use what God has given you to affect the nations, to spread his glory through the nations? Some of you, he's blessed you with influence. You're popular. A lot of people at school know who you are. They see you. How can you use that influence, not for yourself, not just to be blessed, but for his purpose? To use that for the glory of God, for the sake of the nations, to spread his gospel with your influence. See, we don't need to disconnect the blessings that God has given you with his purpose, which is to extend his glory throughout all of the nations. And that's what the purpose is to extend his glory to the nations. When you think about Genesis 1, verse 27, it talks about how God created us in his image. And then it says that he blessed man, and he said, and then he commanded them, he said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. In other words, God said, he made us in his image, and then he blessed us, and then he said, fill the earth. So he made us in his image, he blesses us, and then he tells us, take my image throughout all the world. In other words, spread my glory through the world. So again, we've got God's blessing, he blessed us, and then he commands us, go, spread my glory throughout all of the nations. Here's a quote that I got from David Platt's book that I really liked. He says this, enjoy his grace, extend his glory. And that's kind of cool to think, what's your life about? Enjoying his grace. But don't let it stop there. That's just enjoying the blessing. Connect it with the purpose. Enjoy his grace. Extend his glory to the nations. So the question is, for us to think about, is there a need? Is there a need among the nations for us to be passionate about spreading God's glory throughout the nations? And I want to give you some statistics to try to help you to see that there is a great need. For instance, here's one statistic that I found. There are 4.5 billion people on planet Earth who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. 4.5 billion people who, if they don't hear and they don't believe, they will spend eternity apart from Christ in hell. 4.5 billion people. So the question is there a need? Is there a need for us in America who have been richly blessed to connect our blessing with God's purpose and make his glory known to the nations? 4.5 5 billion people who don't know Christ. Not only that, but there are 26,000 children who will die today, and 26,000 will die tomorrow because they don't have enough food to eat, or they will die of diseases that could easily be cured if they had a better water source. 26,000 children will die because they can't afford to live. And yet we are so blessed. But we've disconnected the blessing from the purpose, which is to extend His glory through the nations. There are over 1 billion people who live on less than $1 a day. Imagine that. You live on less than $1 a day. That's what it takes to supersize our fries. We don't think about a dollar. But 1 billion people live on less than a dollar. 2 billion people live on less than $2 a day. That's half the world's population living on less than $2 a day. 26,000 kids dying because they don't have food. And look at us. We are so blessed. And the question is, have we disconnected the blessing from His great purpose, which is to extend His glory to the nations? Not only is there a great need, I think you feel that now. There's a need. You can't ignore that. You can't sit in your chair and say, everyone's happy. There's a need, a huge need. If you've been blessed, get about His purpose. So not only that, but there's also a command. You know, Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Jesus says, all authority in heaven has been given to me. And then He says this, go therefore and make disciples of all what? Nations, of all the nations. You, my disciples, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Here is your mission. I have saved you, not just for you, but for the sake of the nations. Now go and spread my glory through the nations. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Hang on, but I'm not a missionary. I'm not called to missions. Right? I mean, if we're not called to missions, we don't have to be about missions, right? I mean, Jesus says, if you're called to missions, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. No, He didn't say that, did He? You see, here's what's amazing about the Bible. Missions is not a calling, it's a command. Have you ever thought about that? This is something David Platt in his book helped me realize, that missions, it's not a call, it's a command. We're all commanded to go therefore and make disciples of all nations. If you're a believer, you're commanded to go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That's why when you go to Nicaragua, if you go with us, we don't call it a mission trip. Because a mission trip, it makes it sound like this. We're going on a trip to do missions. And then we're coming back, which means we're not doing missions anymore because we went, we did missions, now we're back. So instead of calling it a mission trip, we call it mission relocation. Meaning this, we're doing missions right now in our community, in our context. Then in July, we're going to relocate in Nicaragua, and guess what? Do missions, make disciples. And then we get back, guess what we're going to do? Continue making disciples, continue doing missions. So I want you to get this. If you're a saved person, you are a missionary. You've been commanded to go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That is a command from Christ. Not only is there a need, not only is it commanded by you, but it could cost you. I think it does cost, but it could cost some others than some other people. I want to read this story. These are two teenagers that David Platt got to speak with in Asia. The first one's name is Ling, and he says this, I've told my family that I will likely never come back home. I'm going to hard places to make the gospel known, and it is possible that I will lose my life in the process. Here's a teenager your age saying, hey, mom and dad, I'm going to plant a church in this village. They're very hostile to the gospel. They don't know about Jesus, but I'm going to go because they need to know about Him. And you guys need to know something. I'm probably never coming back because I'm most likely going to get my head chopped off. But I'm going. You know why? Because they need to know about Jesus. And the other person there, the other teenager, whose name was Shan, said this, but our families understand. Our moms and dads have been in prison for their faith, and they have taught us that Jesus is worthy of all of our devotion. Can you imagine that? These teenagers are going to go give their lives possibly for the gospel. And they say, you know what our inspiration is? Our parents. They've been locked up. They've been in jail. And they've taught us that Jesus is worth following no matter what it costs us. And I think about that. When I think about devotion to Christ, I think about read my Bible, pray, and go to church. I mean, honestly, that's what I think about. I'm devoted to Christ. And for these people, it was, I'm denying myself, I'm taking up my cross, and I'm following Jesus to dangerous places. And which one seems more biblical? And these people were not just saying, yeah, we're sort of in this. They realize there's 4.5 billion people who don't know Jesus, and they're willing to give their lives because they believe Jesus is truly worth it. So there's not only a great need, there's not only a command, but it could even cost you. It could even cost you your life. I mean, we're reading a book, the Bible, that's all about people who've got martyred for their faith. We saw Stephen in the book of Acts. He got martyred. We're following a guy who got crucified. The logical conclusion is that could happen to some of us. So the question is Jesus worth it? If that's the logical conclusion, that you could die for your faith, would you still follow Jesus? That's something to wrestle with. Is he worth that much to me that I would be willing even to lose my life for him? So here's what I really want you to think about tonight is this. Is don't disconnect God's blessing, how he's blessed you. He's blessed some of you with money, with time, with resources, with talents. Don't divorce those things from God's purpose, which is to make his glory known among the nations. So what I want to do is I want to give you four hard things to do starting now that can go through the summer and through the year. You can do hard things for the glory of God, for the sake of the nations. Notice I said four hard things. These are not four easy things. These are four hard things that I'm going to challenge you with. I'm going to dare you to do these four things. So here's number one. Number one is go. First hard thing is to go. And here's how you can go. We do a thing called hanging at Hilldale. And what we mean by that is on Wednesday nights throughout the summer, instead of coming in here, we go to the Hilldale Apartments and we do a backyard Bible club with the kids there. We get here at 9 o'clock. We end at 12 o'clock, we feed them lunch, and we love on kids, we open the Bible, we share them the Bible, and we hope that we can make disciples of all nations there. We can make disciples at the Hilldale Apartments. So go, get involved with that. Don't go to the pool that morning, get involved in ministry, because you are a missionary, so get involved with hanging at Hilldale. And then at night, we do what's called reach, and we come back, and we shuttle over from here to the Hilldale Apartments at around 6 o'clock. And we do the same thing. We love on the kids. We feed the adults. And we preach the gospel to them. Some of you guys, some of you high schoolers are going to preach. It's not going to be me. It's not going to be some speaker. It's going to be you guys who are going to preach the gospel. It's going to be you doing hard things for the glory of God, for the sake of the nation. So the first challenge is to go. Get involved with hanging at Hilldale. Get involved with reach so we can make disciples in our own community here. The second thing is this, pray. Not only go, but pray. If you don't have a pen, I'm going to put this website on our GoTime website, but I want to tell you about this website. It's called Operation World. Me and my wife found this, and I've fallen in love with it. It's really cool. What you do is you go to this site every day, and it says, country to pray for. And every day they have a different country. And what you do is it pops up. Yesterday was Ghana. So last night, me and Katie got in there, we got Ghana. And it's got all of these facts about Ghana. How many Christians there are. How many other religions there are. How many missionaries are there going to Ghana. How many missionaries are coming out of Ghana. How many churches do they have? How many churches are they planting? What's the political climate like? What's the economic climate like? What's their history? What's been going on? What are the people like? How much money do they make? All these facts about Ghana. And the point is, every day there's a new country. And it's designed so that you can click on that and pray for that country. And if you go to that website every day for 1 year, you will pray for the entire world. Imagine that. You in your bedroom praying for the whole world in 1 year. How could that change your life? for every year you to be focused on one country like Ghana, or yesterday it was Germany, and you think about that country and it resonates with you and you feel the need for the gospel in that country and how it's doing, and you're provoked all day to pray for that country. And maybe one of these days this country comes up and you say, that's where I'm going. Nobody's there, I'm going. Man, pray for the globe in 1 year. I dare you to do that and see what God will do through that. Now the third one, it's another hard thing. It's a step above. It's a very, very hard thing, but I'm going to give it to you. Here it is. It's not only go, not only pray, but give. This is where it hurts. This is where you have to sacrifice. Here's what I want to dare you to do. Go to compassion.com. If you can go there, look at a child, and then log off, you need to pump your heart, okay? But here's the deal. You can go to this site, and for $38, you can support a child in another country who doesn't have food, doesn't have water, doesn't have medical care, can't go to school because they don't have the resources. But for $38 a month, that's less than $10 a week, you can provide shelter, water, food, an education, and more importantly, you get to write to this certain child as much as you want, and you can share the gospel to that child. Give. Maybe for some of you that means getting a job just so you can care for this orphan. Could you imagine if 100 of you high school students and 100 of the middle school students, 200 of you, all got a child from all across the globe, and you supported that child, you fed that child, you gave that child an education, you wrote to that child the gospel, and all 200 of them all throughout the globe got saved, and then they started telling their friends, and they started making disciples. Just through sponsoring a kid with 38 bucks a month, we could make disciples of all nations here in this room. Can you imagine what God can do through His power for the glory of His great name? He could change the nations just because we gave, we sacrificed. We said 38 bucks a month, give me one of those guys. Man, I want to love on this kid. I want to write this kid. Maybe when I get in college, I can go see this kid. I want to make disciples, not just here, but of all nations, to extend God's glory to all the nations. You see, you were thinking you had to go somewhere to extend God's glory to the nations, didn't you? Man, it could be as easy as clicking on a website and giving some of your money and investing in a child, investing in their future, investing in their eternity. So go, pray, give, and the fourth one is this, reach. And the fourth one's pretty hard too. Here's my challenge, over the summer, for you to make a disciple. For you to make a disciple. What would that look like? What would mean that you would first find a friend that doesn't know Jesus? If all your friends know Jesus, meet a new friend. Become friends with them. Hang out with them. Love on them. Spend time with them. Show them you care. And then when you build that relationship and the opportunity is right, you get to tell them the most important thing in your life, which is Jesus Christ. You get to share the gospel with them, and you pray earnestly that the Lord will save them. And then when He does, guess what? You've got a disciple. And you know what you get to do then? You get to teach them to go and make a disciple. So that's my challenge. Make a disciple over the summer. You've got 2 months to find a person, spend time with them, love them, evangelize them, and see them made into a disciple for the glory of God, for the sake of the nations. So here we have four challenges. Four challenges to do hard things. Go, get involved with our outreach ministry this summer, pray for the world, give to the nations, and reach one person for the glory of God to change their eternity forever. Now imagine this. Imagine all the other things you could do this summer. Man, you could hang out at the pool. You could get better at golf. You could get better at basketball. You could go to a lot of camps, go on a lot of vacations, and you're probably going to do a lot of that stuff, but that could be your whole summer. So at the end of the summer, you say, hey, what'd you do this summer? I got a good tan, swim some laps, lost a little weight, got better at every sport. And that's your summer. Or what if you said, what'd you do this summer? Well, first of all, I went and made disciples. I prayed for the world. I supported an orphan, and I reached one person for Christ. Imagine that. If that was your answer when you get back to school and everybody, hey, what'd you do this summer? Bam, 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 bam. And just watch them go, oh, high five. That's pretty cool, right? Not for your glory, for the glory of God. So I want you to think about how you can maximize your summer. Don't waste it. Let's do hard things. Let's think about how has God blessed you? What has He given you? What resources do you have? What money, time, energy, talents, influence? How has He blessed you? And how can you use your blessings to bless the nations for the glory of God? Man, let's do hard things this summer. Let's go pray, give, and truly make disciples of all nations. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You, God, just for who You are, that You're a God who saved us, You're a God who redeemed us, and God, You blessed us, not just for us, but so we could extend Your glory to the nations. God, help us know that we are so connected to the world, unlike any other time period in human history. At our fingertips, we can look at children in Ghana, and we can get to know them and write to them and love on them. God, help us to use our blessings in America to be a blessing to the nations so that the nations will know You, and that gives You ultimately glory. And that's what we want. We want You to receive glory from our lives. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.